Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a two big party, man.
Yeah, brother,
like
solid.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Because we all have rights and we have to exercise our rights. I'm going to be on for a little while this morning, but I have to do some very, very important work today. But our host for the show today that's going to be on it is going to be Clarence M. Allen, Brother Clarence M. Allen, and Dr. Professor Reams. They're going to be our hosts for today on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. And boy, do we have some interesting topics to talk to you about today. I know one thing for sure. For some reason, Christmas seems like it's going to be tomorrow. Are you ready? Did you get your Christmas gifts out? Did you get your Christmas tree up? Did you get the Christmas lights put up? Are you ready for some turkey and dressing again, some ham and some sweet potato pie, some peach cobbler and all the wonderful things that come along with Christmas, family, friends, and loved ones that just last year you couldn't hug them, but this year you can hug them. How about that? So without further ado, Let's get some folk up in the studio here. Let's start off with getting let's get Vera 323-571. Vera Jones, are you there? Vera Jones, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Oh, we're so happy to Vera, hey, good morning, sis, how are you?
I'm great. How about you? And
I'm doing wonderful.
And all the listeners.
Yes, and it's so you know, it's so good to have you on this morning, and Melanie Aubrey's gonna be on this morning. And praise God for her. Hallelujah. From whom all blessings flow. She's on the show after battle. Without further ado, Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, are you there? Please take the floor, Clarence M. Allen. How are you this morning?
Oh, what's going on? Yeah, what's going on? I tell you, what's going on? What's going on, Pastor Eddie? What's going on, Vera Jones? To my co-producer and co-host, Professor Reams, Cousin V, to my other co-host, but especially what's going on to all our wonderful listeners throughout this nation and from around the world. You have now tuned into the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk show, the Eddie Justice Jones blog talk show. Yeah. Professor Reams, are you in the studio?
Yes, Clarence, can you hear me?
Good morning,
loud
Professor Rain. Loud and clear.
Oh,
good morning, Professor
Rain. Good morning, Pastor James. I hope all is well, and to all the listeners, we're here at the Best Blog Talk Radio program, starting our Monday off in the month of December. And so everyone get ready, put on your seatbelts, hold on, because we're going to go for a wonderful ride of dealing with love, joy, but also patience, and also our joy of being with the Lord. But also, we're able to fellowship and also feel good that we are here, and it is a joy to be here at this time in order for us to do what we need to do in God's Word. So, with that in mind,
amen.
Well
amen.
Done,
praise
everyone.
God, praise God.
Let's start the ride.
Yes.
Good morning,
all right,
Professor
Reed,
and
you.
Clarence
M.
Allen.
Without
further ado,
Dr. V
is in the house. And without further ado, good morning, Talana Zion Jones. Welcome to the show, Talana, my daughter. How are you this morning?
Blessed and highly favored. Good morning, Dad, and good morning to my butterfly. And good morning to Clarence and Allen and to our Professor Reams. And shout out to Cousin V and to our financial literacy. God bless you. Thank you so much. I just want to say thank you to everyone who is listening. God bless you all. Happy Monday. I pray that we all have a wonderful week and happy holidays.
Alana Jones.
Happy holidays.
Alana.
Well,
good morning.
Good morning. I'm so happy to have everyone on. I'm going to turn the floor over to Clarence M. Allen and Professor Reams. They will be your co-producers, and they will be producing the show today. I will be in the background. I have some work that I have to tend to, but I will be listening, and I just got to tell you, we're going to have some very interesting topics today, and I just want to say this. Remember, this is a time of love because people are going through right now. It's Christmas time, and you don't know what somebody's going through. So if you can give a smile, give a hug, give a high five, a elbow, chicken wings, you know, to lift somebody up. If you could take a bag of food to somebody that's less fortunate than you, if you see a homeless person and you get them a hot dog and a soda and a Coke, a hot dog, a Coke, and a bag of chips. That'll be great. Whatever you can do in this holiday season to touch someone's life, remember, Jesus is the reason for the season. And with that being said, if you want to call into the show right now, dial 646-787-8064, 646-787-8064. Press 1, it'll put you in the queue. But at this time, without further ado, our co-producers of the show will take over, Clarence M. Allen and Professor Reams. please, let's get the limousine all shined up and ready to go. Go ahead, guys. Take the floor. God bless you guys.
Yes, thank you once again, Pastor Eddie. We thank God, give him all praise, thanks, and glory for you, for all of our co-hosts, for all of our listeners, those who are going to call in, those who have called in and listened to this show, because every Monday morning I have no idea how God leads you, Pastor Eddie, but he does an amazing job getting you to bring the hot-button topics, bringing in the hot guests. Every Monday morning, there's a grand slam. There are touchdowns, man. Field goals are being kicked, man. You're scoring. We're winning right here on this show. So call your friends, have them to call in, because we're going to have the word of the week. We're going to have the scripture of the week. We have two hot-button topics this morning, and we're going to get right on into our first topic. And our first topic, and I'm quite sure everybody heard about the devastation that's been across down south and across the eastern states, man. We had, man, several dozen tornadoes touch down, went through several states. Even one tornado has said to went 200 miles. It made me think when I drive to Vegas. It made me think when I drive to Phoenix, man, which is just another 100 miles, you know, you're just getting maybe about close to 100 miles to get to the state line, man. So when you imagine a tornado, man, an F4 is over 150 miles in that vortex of that whirlpool, you know, ripping buildings, at least 50 people have been killed in several states. I was listening to a report where a pitcher that was pulled into one of the tornadoes in Kentucky landed way in Illinois. Imagine that. Debris carried for miles before it returned to the surface of the earth. So we're looking at, man, the power of just nature, man. You know, I've written in Regulate the Manual about all the violence that man condones and conducts on this earth. And so how do we expect planet Earth to be at peace when violence, this stuff, man, it breeds. This is spiritual, it's natural, it's physical, because people have lost their lives, people have lost their properties. You know, when we look at these tornadoes, it's devastation. And we're looking at where these tornadoes have went through at least six states. At least 30 tornadoes were reported across Arkansas, Illinois, Kansas, Kentucky, Missouri, Mississippi, and Mississippi, and even Tennessee. More than 80 people are feared dead, including at least 70 in Kentucky. The potential of more severe weather continue over the weekend. Man, so we're looking at devastation. You know, it. A lot of things goes through my mind, so. We're going to get into our co-producers. We're going to get into our co-host. You know, they're asking for prayers. And these tornadoes, the 80 people, and they're requesting prayer. They're requesting help. There's a 999 number you can text to go to the Red Cross to donate to help with the funding. The Red Cross is really good. You know, thank God for organizations such as the Red Cross, because wherever there's disasters, they're there. They're there, you know. So it's just devastating, man. You know, there was a Amazon factory that was wiped out where this one lady had to use her phone light to crawl over dead bodies to be recovered, man, so to be rescued from the devastation of the plant. So I'm going to go over to Professor Ring. Professor Ring, we have these tornadoes, which I have just read several states, Arkansas, Illinois, Kentucky, Missouri, Mississippi, and even Tennessee. So Professor Reigns, come on in and give us your insight, your input to the devastation and destruction of these tornadoes.
Thank you, the regulator, and excellent, excellent introduction. I don't know how I'll do to do it justice, but let's just talk about what has happened so far. First of all, we're looking at a atmospheric event which should not have happened. We're in the middle of winter, you know, or beginning of winter, fall, winter. This is not tornado season. Normally, tornado season is during early spring and into the summer because that's when the atmosphere is warm and also very, very moist. But they were experiencing warmth and moisture even into the fall and even up to this time when it should be getting towards a wintry, colder climate overall. Now, of course, they're saying that, well, this can't be climate change and things to that effect. But we can say that in these circumstances where we're having our fires every year or we're having our drought, that it is possible that the climate is having an impact on how we're doing. And do a call it for my four-legged babies. But the circumstances is this. When an event like this happens, it's also one of a kind. The last time that we had an event like that, it did happen, but it's going to beat out the tri-state tornado that in 1925, which was similar to the one that dropped down in Kentucky where it stayed for, as Clarence mentioned, over 200 miles and just kept going and going and going. And, of course, as he mentioned, the scale that we measure these things is the Fujita scale or F scale. And just to give you an idea, if the winds are going from 65 to 85 miles an hour, that's a zero. If we go 86 to 110, then it's one, F1. F2 is 111, 135. F3 is 136 to 165 miles an hour, and F4 is 166 to 200 miles an hour, and then F5 is 200 miles and over. But they call the F5 the finger of God coming in because it is covering a large wealth. Well, I would imagine that right now they're calling it an F4 because the winds were all over the place. Now, they really don't know how fast it was going because these things were happening all at once. That's why they're going to be studying it for decades and to see exactly what went on. But one thing that happens when these disasters occur, sometimes it usually happens when we're at our worst, with treating with each other and talking to each other. But this is the opportunity where the leaders, just like what happened with the opposing things that happened with Chris Christie during the time of his time in New Jersey or in Katrina, where we're usually normally at our best when things are at their worst. Well, everyone, we're at our worst. So the outpouring of love that should be coming through is important. The prayers are important. And whatever political conflict that's going on between the Democrats and the Republicans and other parties, that gets pushed to the side, okay? You have to find these folks. You have to pray for these families. You have to give them and help them with the help of the Red Cross, and we have to figure out what we're going to do to bring ourselves together to get through this stuff because they're looking at other storms, as Clarence mentioned, that are going to be coming in, and what do you do? So God never makes mistakes. He always brings things for the reason. And so since this is the reason for the season, this is where everyone will show, you know, the reason for the season is Jesus. So we have to Jesus our way through this situation by loving, giving, and providing compassion to these families, regardless of what side of the fence we're in order to help them to help them to become and get back to some level of normalcy in light of a pandemic and in light of everything else that we're going through. So This is not by mistake, it's by design. So my hope is that now that we have an idea that these storms are out here, that more care will be taken and that people won't be taking each other for granted. So, the regulator, I yield back to you.
Just give Professor Reams a big hand. Thank you, Professor Reams. And, you know, just like Professor Reams said, these natural disasters, such in this case, these tornadoes, there is no black and white. There is no Democrat, no Republican. It does not discriminate. It goes where it will, and we have no idea the direction until after the aftermath of what has happened. So when we look at these tornadoes, we have to pray, man. We have to pray to God, give him the thanks, the glory, that it wasn't worse than what it was, to comfort those families, that we come together as a people to rebuild. You know, it makes me think when I was up in Montana, it's nothing like here in Los Angeles, you know, or even down south. I remember going down south and families and communities in those small rural areas, they all know each other. They all come together to help each other. In those areas, you don't need AAA, because you can call somebody, they'll call somebody, and they'll come out and fix your car right there on the spot, or bring a truck and will pull you home or to the mechanic shop. Here in these big cities, we are so separated from each other that even some of us don't even know our next-door neighbors. People go in and out their homes, look next to each other, don't even speak. I speak to all my neighbors, speak to them all. So with that, I'm going to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, can you chime in and talk about these tornadoes? How have they affect you? And what we can do about these things?
Well, what I can say, Clarence, is that whenever something takes place with one person around the world, it affects us all, because we're all related in some type of way. And so when there is global warming, when the astronauts are going to the moon, we have different moon cycles, a lot will definitely take place. So my heart goes out to everyone, their family, that, you know, they're going through this together, because we're all going through it together. And remember that song, "What the World Needs Now Is Love"? Sweet love.
Let's give Vera a hand. Thank you, Vera.
Woo-hoo. That's your Granny V. Woo-hoo.
And, you know, Vera mentioned one word, which is the key to all of the ingredients of the mass destruction, to bring the healing, to bring the wholeness, to bring comfort to people, and that's love, man. We have to, with whether or not we have these disasters, man, we have to practice that one thing Vera just said, is love. Man, love is the most powerful medicine. It is the most powerful life-giving force that we as a people can apply to our lives and to others in this time in life. And with that, I'm going to go to Kalana Jones. What have you heard about these tornadoes? Pray to God that no one that we know and have been affected by it. I do know people in Tennessee. I have extended family in Tennessee. So with that, I'm going to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, please come in. Excuse me, I mean Kalana Jones.
Thank you, Clarence. I just want to chime in to what Vera said. I do believe that love is the answer right now. This is the first that I've heard of the tornadoes, which is really sad. In this time of year, the global warming has been changed. So everything from out here in California to our weather being 80 degrees, 70 degrees, and then we go all the way down to about a 40 degree Fahrenheit, which is abnormal, really, for Los Angeles weather. Anything lower than 42 degrees is freezing out here in California, so I can imagine Mother Nature is really, really upset right now. So I just pray for all of the families who have been impacted. I pray that they are able to seek shelter and to stay away. I mean, like the crazy. It reminds me of us being closer together and praying for each other more. That's all I'm going to say, Clarence. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And you know,
hey, Brother Clarence. Brother Clarence.
Come on, Pastor Eddie.
Well, I just want to weigh in really quick. First of all, I want to thank FEMA. I want to thank the Red Cross. I want to thank the National Guards. I want to thank the governor of each one of those states who has stepped up to go out and get in a vehicle and go to the devastation and shake hands with the family members and roll up their sleeves and help put this thing back together. If you've seen those pictures, everything is demolished. The Amazon plant, the roof, it tore the roof off, and it just crushed. Everything in there was just torn to pieces. It was also stated that debris was found 30,000 feet in the air. So airplanes were passing by. Well, no, of course, airplanes weren't passing by, but the helicopters later on, or however they found out, they had somebody up there. I think they either used drones because it was kind of dangerous for airplanes, but they were able to see the debris floating in the air. And we're talking about pieces of trees and pieces of homes and pieces of vehicles, 30,000 feet in the air. So that is something very amazing. And as Professor Ream said, this is not even tornado season. So God is trying to tell us something, and we need to really, really pay attention. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. There's no smoking guns. It's the real deal, Holyfield. All right, and I'm going to give it on back to Brother Clarence. Brother Clarence, take the floor.
Yes, sir, Pastor Ed. I'm surprised that we don't have Linda Goldie. We're waiting Melanie Aubrey. Hopefully, Dr. Aretha Adams Jones will call in today. Shout out to Cousin V with sports. You know, every week I'm dedicated to be on this show because not just the hot topics, not just because of Pastor Eddie, but because of my co-host. Everyone has their own specialty in their field. And every week, every Monday morning, they bring the knowledge, the wisdom, and the instruction in their specialty of their field. You know, when Talana Jones come with these words of wisdom, I'm taking notes. When Vera Jones come with health and wellness, I'm taking notes. When Linda Goldie give us her poetry in motion, I'm taking notes. Aretha Adams Jones, I lay back on my couch and I get my mental health. Melanie Aubrey, my pockets go from rags to riches when she gives us that financial literacy. And man, there's nothing like when we have the professor himself. When he slams the trunk of this limousine at the end of the show, if you're not in this limousine by then, the Pastor Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio Show has hit the road. But the good news is this show is archived. You can go to blogtalkradio.com, hit the search button, go to Eddie Jones Jr. _Productions and listen to this show again. You can share it on Facebook and even your other social media channels. That's the wonderful news about this show. These shows, you can go look up a particular show and hear yourself. You can hear someone else. So to those of you who listen to our show, God bless you. We thank you. We love you throughout our wholeheartedness of our heart. because there's more than the bottom of the heart. The top, there's a whole body to the heart. And we love you wholeheartedly for tuning in, for calling in, giving us your input, and just listening every week. You know, we have to bring love. We have to bring life. We have to bring wellness to you every Monday morning and bring, most of all, love and joy. And in that, we find happiness. We find peace in our lives to get through each and every day, because each and every day is a challenge. And the people here in America who's going to have the most difficult challenges are the ones who were affected by these tornadoes. And with that, I'm going to go over to Professor Reams. Professor Reams, come on in and share something with us.
You are correct. Once again, the regulator. Let's think about this. Yes, the tornadoes are, they're here. They've already done their devastation. But now the question is, what can we do now? And the thing is that we've talked about, and Talana said it well, with love, as well as Vera said with love. Now it's time that for us who have the means is to, if the Red Cross that you like, then certainly give a donation to that. If there's other services that need the assistance, we're on call. Just because we're here in California, that doesn't mean that we can't send our, not only our prayers, but our gifts and whatever is needed for them, because they're going to need help. If they're loved ones, of course, you're going to give them a call if the lines are available. If not, then whatever you can do to spread the feeling, because a lot of people are feeling alone right now. A lot of people have been devastated by this. And if there is a shelter that they can go to, that's great. But some may not, because with our topic, not only dealing with this, but also with homeless, that tornado, the tornadoes have now created more homeless in the process. So the feeling should be, okay, we do know that they're going to be coming in. And as Talana mentioned, we hope that now that they are braced for it, that they'll have access to shelters and or other homes, or can leave out before something else happens, but you don't know. But for us, this is a clarion call, if you want to call it that, where we need to give, we need to show our love, we need to contact them, we need to show that we are one, because as I put in my notes, God has just tapped us on the shoulder and said, we're not doing enough. Okay, because the fact that if it wasn't the pandemic, we should have been showing care and love, and that didn't work. So maybe something stronger will unite us to work together. And remember that behind all these words, behind all this advertising, behind all these power plays are still people, and people who are fearful, people who have families, people who are looking for their babies, people who are just like us, just trying to do the best they can in order to just survive each and every day. So with this call, forget whatever has been going on. Forget all the things that you're mad at, and just help some folks. And that will be the greatest gift that you can give, rather than go to the store. I mean, of course, you can get your gift card. You can get this stuff. But this is a big calling here on the reason for the season. We have to take care of our own. I don't care if you're what nationality you are. You're still part of our family. You're still loved, and we'll still encourage you, regardless of whether you like me or not. So this is the time to do that. So I beg and implore all of our listeners, please go out and just do something. Your little bit will make a difference, whether it's a dollar, $5, or whatever it is to your favorite charity that's working with this. It means that mean a lot to them, because it's more than what they have, as we're showing. I mean, people have died. People have been injured. And their whole life has been devastated. So the greatest thing we can do is to show them that everything matters, they matter, and that we are here to help. So I yield back to you, Clarence.
Yes, thank you, Professor Reams. Let's give Professor Reams a hand.
Thank you.
You know, Professor Reams really laid the foundation on this show when he defined the structure on how the world, life, and people operate and connect. And it's like an engine, man. There are many parts, that is working together in order to formulate what's going on. Vera Jones, before we leave this topic, is there anything else that you'd like to add to these tornadoes? Anything come across your mind? Because sometime after we speak, something else we may have wanted to say may come across our mind. So, Vera, you'd like to say anything else with these tornadoes and the destruction of the six states?
Well, I can just say that, you know, a tornado is really scary, and most of us that were born and raised here, out here in California, have not experienced anything like it unless you travel elsewhere. And once while traveling, I can say that I drove through a tornado, and thank God for God just covering me and allowing me to go to safe, higher ground. And I just want to put my prayers out there for each and every person at this time, because we never know what's coming.
Let me ask you a question, Vera. They say that it sounds like a train or something. So when you experienced that, were there any particular sound you could connect with the noise of the tornado?
No, I didn't hear, but it was just awful, and it seems as if, I don't remember when I was traveling, which state it was, because I was traveling through many, but I do recall that a lot of people left, and it was really scary to get rooms. And I was blessed to get the very last room at one time. So thank God. And at this time now, you know, we, like I said, we have not experienced that type of catastrophe here. However, around the world, there are different things that are happening and taking place. So as we can, as Eddie suggested, and, you know, give and share. Professor Reams mentioned it, you, Clarence, and Solana. So we have to give and share and remember our elders, our neighbors, and number one, we have to remember God.
Amen. Jones, a hand.
Amen.
Thank you, Vera. Solana Jones.
Dr. Granny B.
Yes. Solana Jones, have anything else crossed your mind you'd like to share with us since you last gave us your input?
Just to also pray for the first responders, for all of the people who are going into contact with the people who have been traumatized by the tornado. I pray for also keeping every one of my family members safe during this holiday season.
Give it up for Solana.
Okay.
You know,
Brother Clarence, it's Pastor Jones.
Yes, sir.
If I can weigh in for 1 second. You guys are doing a phenomenal, tremendous, phenomenal job. I am so grateful beyond words. One thing I want to do, I want to say is over there's hundreds of people who are critically injured, but we have so far lost about 150 people have died, and that's they haven't reached their peak number yet. They still have cadaver dogs out there. Search teams are out there. One woman was trapped under her mobile home for hours. So this is a devastation, but it's also a time for people to galvanize together and share love. It doesn't matter what color you are, what race, what creed, what origin, what religion. And as Brother Clarence said, Democrat, Republican, national, whatever. Put all that aside right now and come together for a better cause, a much bigger cause, bigger than we can imagine right now. People are crying. They're displaced. They're homeless. They've lost everything they own. These tornadoes actually pick up trucks and cars and carry them 20, 30 feet in the air and throw them up against things. So imagine being hit by a debris that you didn't expect to be hit with, and it could devastate your life. It could take away your loved ones. It could take away your life. So let's continue to love on Kentucky, Illinois, Arkansas, and all the other several states that this powerful, unbelievable F4. And I want to go back to Professor Reams. Could you explain again what an F4 is, an F4 tornado is? Because a lot of people don't understand the giganticness, the enormity, and the power of an F4 tornado. Go right ahead, Professor Reams. Please take the floor.
Thank you, Pastor Jones. An F4 tornado is listed at traveling with wind speeds of 166 to 200 miles an hour. That means that you're being hit with a ton and the wind is not going to get you. It's the debris that's going to get you that's traveling at that same speed. At that speed, straws and or little things like straws and or sticks turn into daggers have been found in buildings with brick walls. They will pierce, the debris will pierce and or cut through because of the speed that is going. And you have identified correctly, this storm, because of the wind, allowed debris to go up 30,000 feet up in the air and also would allow it, the wind speed, to travel to other states. They've even found frogs that were taken up, it was raining frogs at one spot because the water was there, because they were trapped up in the atmosphere. So this type of wind blows down houses, it pulls up, breaks trees in half like their twigs, pulls them out of their roots. It will also, as you've mentioned, knock down, if they don't have enough a guard where they can vent out, it's almost like the building will implode when this thing comes next to them. And so if you open up your windows or if you close your windows, it's not going to matter because the wind saps all the air out of the area. Then it starts crushing, and then it just devastates by almost like an explosion where the houses and the roofs are pulled up and thrown out when it hits. And even if you're on the outside and don't get directly hit by the tornado, the winds are still going to be throwing things all over. That's why if you see any of the shows like Storm Chaser or what have you, then they have to be very cautious on how far or how close they get to the tornado because you never know what's there. As you've mentioned, trucks could be hiding in there. Anything could be hiding in there in the vortex. That's why it was important for, like, the movie Twister to have early warning signs so that people had a chance to get into their storm shelters. But as I understand it, with many of these storms, they were happening so frequently at night, some made it in, some didn't, because the signs were there, but they didn't know how devastating it was going to be. So the Fujita scale is there for a reason. It's just our early warning system can vary depending on how funded each of the states are to address these issues. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones, and Clarence, the regulator.
Amen.
Yes, you know, what crossed my mind, Professor Reams, when you talked about the velocity of the F4, what crossed my mind was this wind is so powerful you can't even breathe if you're in it. It'll suck the air out of you.
Yes.
You know, so how many people may have died from just the suffocation of the force of the wind velocity? You know, it's hard to comprehend. It's unimaginable. You know, so we'd like to thank Pastor Eddie for bringing such an important topic. You know, we get earthquakes here in California. We get fires. We get floods. We get little bitty wind, you know. Another thing that crossed my mind was the the folklore story of the big bad wolf. You know, there were these three pigs, and each one of them built a house out of different materials. One was straw, one was something else, and the other one was brick. And he went around town, and he threatened these pigs that he'll huff, and he'll puff, and he'll blow their house in. And the reason I brought this up, I was watching CNN this morning, and I was looking at the devastation, and they showed the picture of this post office made of brick. This old post office, but it was still standing, just the window's been blown out. And everything else was devastated. You couldn't tell what kind of building was next to it, across the street, up the block, or whatever. But it made me think of that story of the big bad wolf, that hurricane. It's like that big bad wolf blowing things down, blowing things out, blowing things up, and blowing things away. So, you know, thank you, Pastor Eddie, for bringing such a hot-button topic. So let's pray for these families.
Yes,
let's everybody, at least $10, get that 999 number from the Red Cross, and let's at least $10, because I don't care if it's in California, Connecticut, New Mexico, and even in these devastating states. Any kind of tragedy, fire, earthquake, tornadoes, hurricanes, you name it, the Red Cross always comes through.
Hey, Brother Clarence?
Yes, sir.
Brother Clarence, if I may chime in,
sir.
This is Pastor Jones. To everybody that's listening to the show, and first of all, I want to thank people for listening from wherever you're listening around the world or in the United States of America. You can Google the Red Cross and get their 1-800 number. You can Google FEMA and get their number. And you can also send, once you get the information from them, how you can send packages, they're probably going to need water more than anything, because water is very important right now, because with all the debris blowing into the lakes and the beds of waters that they have, it kind of contaminates the water. And then you have broken pipes. You know, they have no electricity right now. They're still trying to regain electricity. And FEMA and the Red Cross are setting up giant tents, and they're trying to clean the debris and open up the roads again. A lot of the roads are covered with debris and all kinds of stuff. So it's a gigantic, enormous job. But if you Google the Red Cross or Google FEMA, they'll have numbers for you where you could call, and they can further assist you in how you can assist the people who are in need. And we're all in need, because we're all one. As they say, we are one. No matter what we do, we are one. With that being said, I'm going to yield back to Clarence M. Allen and Professor Reams, Talana Jones, and Vera Jones. You're all on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights. If you want to call into the show and share a word, dial 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064, and press 1 to get in the queue, and Clarence will assist you. And without further ado, I yield back to you, Brother Clarence M. Allen, and Professor Reams, and Vera and Talana.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Eddie. There's a 1-800-HELP-NOW. 1-800-HELP-NOW. If you'd like to donate by phone, that's 1-800-435-7669 for the Red Cross. I will be giving them a call later today after the show. We'll donate at least $10 because we never know when we will be in need of assistance from an outside source because of an incident, accident, even a disaster. You know, this is so important. And you know, we're in that time of the year where the greatest birthday of throughout the history of the world is approaching us. We're about just under 2 weeks away from the birthday of Jesus Christ. You know, let's not make any mistakes. Gifts are nice because of those three wise men, but this is about a birthday celebration of Jesus Christ, and I'm segueing into our next topic, and that's why I'm mentioning this. And our next topic is, how many people are lonely? How many people are hungry and homeless at Christmas time? And what can we do about it? What can we do for some of those people? We, you know, as individuals and even as a collective, we may not be able to help each and every last one of them. But just that one person that we reach out and touch, whether it's food, some clothes, even a few kind words, a bottle of water, can help out. I do very little bit here and there. Not as much. I got a partner, Big Boo. He 7 days a week he goes downtown to feed the homeless, give them clothes. And I mean, he's out of town now, but I saw his post. He said, "Save your clothes and all that." And every day he's downtown giving to people in need. He put those clothes out. He let them just pick one. That way everyone has the opportunity to get a fresh set of clothes, you know, because I don't know if you've been downtown. If you go down there, there's a smell like no other smell, because a lot of people use the bathroom outside on the streets. So it's not the most pleasant smell down there. But we can't let that stop us, because they are people. And being in what's supposed to be the greatest nation or country on earth, and to have all this suffering in our land, it quite doesn't make sense when we can give so much to other countries, when we can put so much and war equipment and create wars to even kill and be killed. So to see people lying on the streets, people who have lost their mind because of mental destruction, they wasn't born that way. They had a mother, they had a father. Some of them had siblings. Some of them have great education. But somewhere along the life of breadcrumbs, they picked up a few breadcrumbs which changed their life forever. And this being the greatest time of the year for love, for peace, for joy, for giving, the celebration of birth of Jesus Christ, I was talking to a lady, I said, maybe all we need is cake and ice cream and a candle light. Because when we turn around, the commercial market is taking over Christmas. It's about buying. If you don't buy something, you're not in the game. So it seems. And that's not what Christmas is all about. It's about giving glory to the birth of a baby that at a time that the government was looking for to hunt, to kill the child that was born on that day. They went out and killed every firstborn black male baby because they didn't know which one was him. But they know he was the firstborn. His parents had to take him to Africa to hide him in Egypt, because at that time you couldn't hide a white baby in Africa. So I say this because we have been misguided by one of the greatest white lies of all time, that this white guy in these images is him. That's one of the greatest white lies. You know, not to get distracted, but another great white lie is, just to make it simple, is that shark. They call it great white shark. There's nothing great about it, but it will kill you. And they call it the black whale, which is not a whale. It's a black dolphin. They call it a killer, but it won't kill you. It can be trained and educated, which I think that is something great. So we need to... You know, when they say stay woke, first you got to wake up. But what are we going to do about during this time of Christmas for those who are left out and left outside, who can't go indoors into the warm. You know, they live 365 days a year on the street. Every now and then they might get a shelter. You know, we passed the law HHH in the county of LA to help them. But when you go down there, it seems like nothing has been done. We hear the politicians talk about, well, let's get this place and open it up. Let's build something over here, because every time we spend a dime, a portion of that dime goes to help the homeless. And if the government's not going to do nothing, sometimes it may be left up to us to go out to feed somebody, to give them something to wear. Cold is getting cold out here. But what are we going to do about helping the people who are lonely, who are hungry, who are homeless here at Christmas time? It's a time of giving. You know, those three wise men, they had to go out a different route because the government was looking for them because they wanted to find information on this child. That I know. It's written. It's right there in the book. So I'm going to go to Talana Jones. Talana Jones, how many people are lonely, hungry, and homeless here at Christmas time, and what can we do about it?
Wow. I live in Koreatown, not too far from downtown, so I see it head on every day. And what I think we can do about it, because, I mean, we talk about how we can help, but I physically, just to, like you said, giving away your time, giving just a kind word, or even going, you know, into the depths of Skid Row and talking to someone or our city officials who actually have the powers that be to fix the situation. They've talked numerous times about fixing the homeless and taking our people off the street and giving them shelter, but how long does the shelter last? And, I mean, it's nothing like having stability, so my heart is really saddened by the amount of homelessness. And it's about to become, like right now, this week it's going to rain. It's going to be not only cold, but also wet and cold outside. So, I mean, to pray, I got this, I received this message too from God this morning, to forgive anything and anyone who has ever wronged or you have wronged, and to be blessed for the things that we do have, and to cherish each other as much as possible.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Amen. Well said.
That's right, Talana.
Thank you, Talana. Bill Jones, you know, I love you, and you are health and wellness expertise. What can we do about those who are out there that's lonely, hungry, and homeless during this Christmas holiday season?
Well, with me, every day is to be Christmas, but this season for December right now and New Year's, guess what? The smallest things we can do will make a big difference in someone's life. That person that's sitting on the curb, you could just smile, you could say hello, or give them a bottle of water. And guess what? For those people that are on the street, and as Talana mentioned, it's about terrain out here. So I'm sure some of you, because I love camping, but if you have an extra tent, an extra tarp, you know, if you can get together some sundries with some wipes so they can clean their face, because what is it when we wipe our face and we have some water? it just renews everything. So I'm sure we all have extra coats, extra blankets, jackets, socks, shoes, and hats, and perhaps some gloves that we could take and just get together and make, you know, a meal plan with a box for someone that lives on the street with canned goods that are easy to open, different baskets, or you can even wrap up some gifts. And guess what? Those small tokens will make a big difference. And I always love to mention the elders, because without the elders, guess what? I wouldn't even have the knowledge that I have at this time, because our elders, excuse me?
I said amen, Ambera.
Oh, yes. Our elders, they paved the road for us. And so we have to pave the road now for our younger ones. And we have to make sure we take care of our elders, because I have seen many elders on the street, and there were several that I would take food, clothes, books, magazines, and maybe small donations. But there were several people, but they're no longer here. And prior to the pandemic, I would go to Leimert Park and cook up meals and pass out. And prior to that, I would go to downtown LA with clothes, with towels, with shoes, with jackets. And what I would do would, I would ask the person first, would you like some clothes or would you like some food? I would ask them, and I would make different bags for small, medium, and large, you know, if they're, and then for men and for women, I would make these separate bags. And here lately, that's what I've been doing, getting together those things that I am no longer using. And guess what? Our trash is another person's treasure. So if we can call someone up, if we can go and visit, if we can just drop off one of those items I mentioned or perhaps something that you may think of. And I just want to say I love each and every one of you. I have to leave at this time, so I will not be staying for the segment for this day. But perhaps I may be able to listen in more. So I love you all, and season's greetings.
Amen.
All right.
Do you have time to do your segment now?
No,
you,
I didn't
Granny
just
B.
have a – you're welcome. You're welcome. But what I will say is I can't do this today.
I just want to say this is Pastor Jones, your brother Eddie Jones. Just want to say thank you, Vera. If you could just tell us one thing about health and wellness before you go, that would be an honor and a pleasure for those who are out there at this time that you know, what kind of health and wellness package can we put together for a homeless person? Because we have to remember that the homeless person cannot cook. They cannot warm up soup or anything like that. So what kind of health and wellness package could we put together for the homeless people at Christmas time? Go right ahead, Vera, please. Just a moment.
Well, if it was just for a quick care package, I would say you can do things like peanut butter and jelly, some bread that's filling, some canned goods of beans that they can just open up, along with perhaps something like some tuna cans with crackers. There is fruit that you can give them. There are veggies that they can just eat, and perhaps you can give them some hummus, just something that they could eat right away, right then and there. And if you feel it in your heart, perhaps you can buy some chewables and, you know, a couple of bottles extra. You know, spend an extra $50 or $100 or perhaps $200 and just start making, you know, do assembly line at home, put a table out, and just make some care bags. And believe me, those little bags, you're going to make a big difference in everyone's life. So that's what I can say, Eddie.
Thank you so much, Vera. Let's give a big hand for my sister, Vera Jones. Thank you so much for health and wellness for the homeless for at Christmas time. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Dr. GV.
Thank you. I love you all. Professor Rains, Clarence, Eddie, Talana, and all the other co-hosts that are not present today.
We love you too,
Vera.
I love you too, Vera.
Amen.
Clarence, take the floor, Brother Clarence. Thank you, Vera. Brother Clarence, please take the floor.
Hey, did we lose Brother Clarence? Okay, Professor, okay, let's see. Okay, Brother Clarence, are you there?
Yes, sir, Pastor. That fell off. I had to get back in the studio. Thank you. I'd like to give a couple of shout-outs, if I can, since we're on this subject here. How many people are lonely, hungry, and homeless during these times at Christmas, and what can we do about it? And I'd like to give a shout-out to Manuel and Lynn Capito and their organization, the Skid Row Brigade. Him and his wife and a group of people, they go down there on their own and clean up the streets on their own. The city doesn't pay them. They buy the brooms, the bags, the trash cans, and they go down there and sweep and clean up as much area as they possibly can down there on Skid Row. He started a 3-on-3 basketball tournament down there on Skid Row at Gladys Park on 5th and Maple, I believe it is. I'd like to give a shout-out to Big Boo, unceasingly feeding the homeless and supplying them with clothes. And I'd like to give a shout-out to all the other people and organizations who works downtown and throughout these cities, because it's homeless everywhere. I can leave my house now and go to the corner. I'll see somebody that lives on the street. So for some of us, we don't even have to go downtown to help someone. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. People living under freeways, on top of freeways, in parks, outside of parks, in front of some people's homes, in alleys. People are residing wherever they feel comfortable and safe. You know, you go down that 710 freeway, you see tents up and down out here in Long Beach and in Compton area, tents all along the area. And with that, I'm going to go to Professor Reams. I'm going to ask you, Professor Reams, how many people are lonely, hungry? Is there a count? How many people are homeless during these times of Christmas, and what can we do about it, Professor Reams?
With the way the count is varying, because it's almost up, sometimes it's between 30 and 40,000 people that they're saying what the numbers are, but then it fluctuates, because what's going on with many cities was that when they had their homeless, the police would take them and bring them downtown to reduce their numbers. And they weren't taking responsibility for resolving the situation overall. And then we have a situation of NIMBYism, where it's not in my backyard scenario, where when we did have something going on, then we'd have protests of folks that were not happy with the fact that this might be a way to be a bridge, where once you find out the person has a chance to get themselves together and then work with the local areas where they can get employment of some type. But then, of course, that's, as we mentioned, has been fraught with those who don't want to see that happen. And as you've mentioned, yes, the shout-out of those in Long Beach, because I belong to organizations and or work with organizations where they're actively putting together bag lunches. They're working with the families. I would work with the homeless families a great deal because, again, the individuals are doing whatever they need to do, but then the families and the babies are also involved in that too. So it's ranged from having the care package. It also includes working with the churches on having their own food bank there and routing them, or I would carry people or buy them lunch, or even we would clean up the park to make sure that if they're going to stay there, in light of what the police are saying, because they can't go all the way, at least the parks were clean enough and that they had a place to stay. So it is everywhere, and it's not their problem. It is our problem, and it is one of the things where when we try to help at least a few folks, because at the university I'm at, many of our students, not a lot, but a good many families are homeless, and we try to find shelters for them, along with taking into consideration that they need extra help, and we provide that to them. So this is our problem. It's not pervasive. You can't look around the corner. What Vera has mentioned, the little things that you can do, it's very helpful. It's also, I always say we're doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do, because that's what God has asked us to do. So every little bit helps. It's just that people can feel very overwhelmed on, well, it's such a big problem. Well, no, it isn't. It's everyone finding which part of the problem they want to focus on and then just working that problem that we've worked everything else. So if it's in your neighborhood, then that's when you take some action. If you're like Talana, living in the area you're seeing, but then you're doing some acts of kindness, as Vera and Talana have mentioned, then you're actively involved with that. Because one thing we also have to remember is that, once again, we're dealing with people. They'll appreciate it, and many times that is the motivating thing that will decide what direction they're going to go with their life. Because everyone, regardless whether they have a home or they're homeless, is in a journey, has been and continuing in their journey. And how we see them now is not how they'll be later on in life, especially if the good Lord has placed their hands on them and says, okay, you're going to have this downfall like Job, but it will be better in the future. You just need to get yourself together, believe in me, and then accept the gifts that people are giving you, and then you can work yourself back. And, of course, and that is our hope, that the good Lord is what he's going to do. But in the meantime, for today, as of Monday of 12/13, the best thing to do is, if you've been giving, if you've been putting together packages, if you've been working with, like, for Salvation Army, or working with your favorite charities, or giving money, or when you see the person buying them breakfast, or giving them an umbrella, continue to do that, because it does make a difference, and just keep persevering, because that's all that we can do. So, Regulator, I yield back to you.
That's Rains. Well deserved. I'd like to thank all of my co-hosts this morning, you know, and the man who's at the helm of this limousine ride. You know, it's this journey we take every Monday morning on the Eddie Justin Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. It's a ride. We go through this ride in life, man. These subject matters that he creates and bring, the guests that he invites, and they come into this. It's vital to our connectivity in life. You know, it matters. It matters. It matters, man. So once again, Pastor Eddie, you know, thank you for creating such an amazing platform for every Monday morning, man. You know, this homeless crisis, they are people, man. They wasn't born that way. It was somebody's child, like I said before. Some of them have degrees, been through college, have amazing careers. But like I said earlier, somewhere along the way, you know, life is like the story of Hansel and Gretel. You know, what breadcrumbs are you picking up daily? You know, are you picking up the breadcrumbs that create life and well-being, or is there some big bad wolf lurking behind the bush with a breadcrumb that can deliver a bad habit that can change the life and mind of a person? Because we wasn't born, many of us, like this, but this society of life creates certain things. We don't know more than what we see and hear and are taught. You know, we have our imaginations, but they are even designed by what we see, hear, and are taught. Even in our visions, our spiritual visions are sometimes even structured. But, you know, all in all, there is God, and he is in control. We want to thank him for his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. You know, who healed the sick and brought people from dead back to life, man, fed thousands with a small, very small pieces of food because of his faith, because of his ability. He believed and he knew. And so he was just so amazing. And he brought people more than hope. He brought them inspiration and faith. You didn't have to sit there and hope. You'll get up and get it done because you believe that you could do it. And that's what it's all about, man, about this time of year is giving. You know, it's not about going into these stores and giving these businesses every dime you got just to make someone happy. You know, last week, Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones brought up a subject about making people happy and proving them out of our insecurity or lack of self-esteem, you know. And that is not what this time of year is about. This time of year is about celebrating the birthday of a man that done the most miraculous things ever done in the history of time and life. It's about, I think, buying a cake and singing happy birthday. I think that would be better than getting a gift. Playing Stevie Wonder, happy birthday to you, and play it for Jesus. You know, going out and giving these businesses, man, these are the big bad wolves, man. They make these beautiful, enticing commercials where you need to go out and buy a Lexus or this phone can do this or that. You know, we're driven by these materials, man, and we can't take none of them with us. There's not one Brink truck going behind man, me, and a billionaire. Because if it did, it'd be grave diggers there. As soon as the sun go down, they'd dig it right out. So let's share love. Let's give what we are able to those who are less fortunate. We don't have to give them everything we got, whatever we can spare. You know, I think I'm going to get with my wife and make some chili beans and cornbread and get some of those small bowls and go around. When I lived in Hawthorne, I used to take my barbecue grill down to the corner and feed the community that for some couldn't feed themselves as well. So I think this year, being in this cold, I'm going to take a day, I'm going to make two pots of chili beans and two pans of cornbread and cut them up and go out and hand that. I think that with a bottle or two of water, I help somebody out for the moment, you know. Every little
excuse
bit
me,
helps.
Excuse me, Brother Clarence. Excuse me, this is Pastor Jones. I want some cornbread, man.
Well,
you know,
I have a question for you, Pastor Jones. Do you want
that?
Your cornbread oven baked, or do you want it some hot water?
Now, you're talking about some hot water cornbread? That's exactly how I like it, hot water cornbread. Now, if you make it in the oven, you got to, when it comes out the oven, you got to take that stick of butter and just go across the whole thing until it's nice and buttery. But, boy, I tell you, chili beans are filling. They're healthy. It's a good fiber. It has a lot of protein in it. That's a good dish, and it gets you warm. I don't know if you remember back in the day, it was a commercial that came on. If you had malto meal in the morning, the bowl would be floating over your head with steam coming out. Remember that?
Yeah, you going back there? You are pulling ages of people. You're calling people ages there, Pastor. You know those commercials. 40 and 50 years ago, they don't make those anymore. You
no,
know,
but
now these commercials, man, they they put all that glitter in them, but if you look behind the curtain, man, it's a lot of sin and stuff back there, you know. So, yeah, back
yes,
in the
sir.
Day it was good, clean commercials. Nowadays you could do anything on TV you want. You can cuss, walk across the screen naked, whatever. Mutilate people, it doesn't matter. You know, these kinds of we're becoming numb. You know, Bao was one of the guys that made good evil and evil good, and we are in these signs of the time. You know, the harbingers, they are out here. You know, they are the symbols of the things to come. That's what a harbinger is. It's a symbol of the things to come. You hardly ever hear that word used, but Baal is here. We see where a lot of this sin, it's okay now. You look at a commercial with two men kissing, two women kissing. Come on now. They have taken over the earth, man. You know.
They've taken over TV, too, in a large way. They've taken over television.
We're blessed.
And, you're right.
We're blessed that it doesn't rain brimstone and fire.
You mean like it did on Sodom and Gomorrah?
Absolutely. You know, when we see hell, how could that heavy ball of ice be in the sky and it rain down and break a window or knock you in the head and knock you out?
Well, I want to know who has more civil and human rights right now. Is it regular people or is it the LGBTQT community? Which one has more rights?
Well, I would say that every right of every organization came off of the backs of blacks because it all started with civil rights. And everybody
and
else.
Can I share something with you? Can I share one thing with you? And I want everybody to know this. You know, we got COVID-19 as a serious, devastating disease. And now we have Delta variant, and now we have the Omicron. Let's not forget AIDS is also a COVID-19. That was COVID-18. 18, see, now this is COVID-19. Now COVID-18 was AIDS, and it's still killing people. So if you don't mind, I'd like to go to Professor Reams just to elaborate a little bit on some of the other, like the Ebola virus, some of the other diseases. We just have a few minutes before it's time to go into our segment, to talk about the other things that the government has allowed to come down on the people, especially of Africa and then America and, of course, around the world. AIDS is also an epidemic that's out of control. Professor Reams, could you just hit on that just a little bit, please?
Yes, and I was there as a public health, just starting into public health when AIDS began. And in that, the same idea of where it came from an animal somewhere in Africa dealing with monkeys, and that overall was the vector that they said that it occurred from. And then it transferred into humans, and then from humans it then blossomed into another disease. It first was seen in the LGBTQ community, but then I had been a health educator trying to educate folks that the disease doesn't care what your sexual orientation is. And then when Magic Johnson indicated that he had it, then that changed the whole dynamics of it, because now you had another person that was heterosexual and it was relatable. But the one thing about it was that this came out, but there were AIDS-like diseases that were coming around even before it was acknowledged that this is what would happen with the immune system. And it also goes back to the ideas of how germ warfare has also been a part of the makeup for hundreds, thousands of years, only back to antiquity, where they would take, like, the bubonic plague, or they would take some form of disease and use it in some way to bring down the population or to destroy an adversary. So if it's not that, then if it wasn't for AIDS, then came Ebola. And that was another one that, came about during the time. Then you have the SARS virus that came about with the avian flu, which supposedly come from birds. So there's always been a vector or something that those in power have used to try and put together these diseases that would help thin out the population. So we're talking about the idea of Malthus and the idea that the population in itself, the explosion was that we had to limit the number that we have on this planet because there's not enough resources to go around. But that has been a focus of many of these folks, and that you've mentioned, including what was going on with the Gates administration or what's going on with some of the other parts of the Illuminati, that has been a prevalent fear that many have gone through, and I don't call it conspiracy theorists. I call it just living on Earth and how things are and how governments have manipulated things. So when AIDS came out, finally, in 1986, as a result of what Rock Hudson had gone through, that put a face to it. But the thing about it was that you also have to remember that this was a star who was in the golden age of Hollywood, who, realize it or not, had been closeted overall, which put a face to everything. And when it came out that this was a different lifestyle, these things fractured the structure of what we had seen on TV and what we thought our stars were or our leaders were. Overall, that it was devastating. And for that to happen, especially to many of our heroes, was devastating when it did occur. But it meant that we had to, be woke about how diseases work. We had to not take it for face value that the government, including with the Tuskegee experiment, dealing with that with syphilis, that we had to be on our guard at all times, depending on how these diseases would crop up. So eventually when the flu came out and they were able to control that, that's fine. Normally your flus are at least 30,000 people would die each year. That was the hope that this particular pandemic would happen. But since there's so many variants coming up, then it leads you to ask the question, okay, what's next? You know, are they going to combine the two? Is it going to combine Ebola with this? Is it going to be an Omega, which is the end-all, be-all? This is the big question that in the academic and also in just general public on why the trust in our institutions is withering away in light of all the stories that were being given. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones. Now, if I miss something, please bring it up so I can add another point.
No, that was fantastic and excellent.
And, Pastor Jones.
Yes.
Oh, just wanted to say, love your recipe for the hot water cornbread, nice and warm. Don't forget the collard greens as well, along with the beans.
Yeah.
Wonderful combination. Lots of fiber. And I used to love the Queen Cream of Wheat commercials because those would also have the bowl floating out and they go to school and you have to be toasty warm, which is why I have that toasty warm feeling when I hear Linda Goldie's poems. Just to let you know, I yield back to both of you.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Professor Ings. Thank you so very much for that knowledge and that wisdom that you just shared. Without further ado, Brother Clarence M. Allen, please take the floor. And just in closing on the subject matter and the topic, just share a little bit about the Ebola virus, because when it came out, they did two movies. They did one at the movies that you had to go see, then they did another one on TV. And after that, they showed the devastation of the Ebola virus and how they used it on people in Africa. So without further ado, if you could just touch on that for just a moment. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. We talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And without further ado, co-producers are doing a great job. Co-hosts are doing a great job. It's the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Clarence M. Allen, co-producer, please take the floor.
Yes. You know, I can't get in much of that unless I do a little more research. But as far as what I do remember, being younger about that Ebola virus, they put a lot of fear in the world at that time, you know. It was mentioned to be so deadly coming out of Africa and stuff. It had shaken the world, you know. And now when we look at
Brother Clarence. Hey, Brother
yes.
Clarence. But isn't the world built, isn't control built on fear?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I was coming into. When we look at last year, when, 2 years, it's coming up on 2 years now for the COVID-19, because it came out in what, 2019? And then 2020, it was announced around the world. And so now we're looking at almost 2 years. So now when it first came out, man, everybody was in fear. We didn't know what to do. You know, they talk about how it's so deadly and the unknowns. So this fear and, you know, we have to, the question goes, how am I going to protect myself? What am I going to do? You know, and so these mad scientists who create these deadly diseases. And, yes, sir.
I apologize for interrupting so abruptly. There's a few people I want to get in the studio right now that are in the queue. So let's start off with Aretha Adams Jones, but her nickname on our show is Dr. Aretha Adams Jones. Please take the floor. How are you today?
I am doing fine. How are you doing, Pastor Eddie? Happy Monday.
Doing well. Everybody, good. Please say good morning to Aretha Adams Jones.
Good morning, Dr. Aretha.
Good morning.
Good morning to you all. God bless you all. Good morning.
And also, too, without further ado, our poetess, Poetry in Motion, Linda Goldie, all the way from Oregon. Good morning, Linda. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I'm sleepless. I have dust mites in my house, my apartment.
That's okay.
Anyway.
We all sleep over sometimes. It's just human. It's just so human. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Clarence, and we're going to get in. Wait, hold on. We have a caller in the 323-646-85. Caller in the 323-646 number. Are you there? Caller in the 323-646 number. Did you want to join us on the show? Okay, we're going to put them back on hold. All right, without further ado, we're talking about some interesting subject matters and topics. One of our topics was the tornadoes that hit Kentucky, Illinois, Arkansas, and several other states. The devastation is unbelievable, and it's a very extremely hot topic. And we talked about helping the people there. Call the Red Cross or call FEMA. Get the 1-800 number. Find out what can you do. They need water. They need blankets, they need coats. And for the little kids there, they need teddy bears and things they can hug because they're embracing a very devastating moment in their life that they don't even comprehend or understand. So your help is tremendously needed right now. Tell a friend. Share it with someone. This is very, very important. Our Christmas can be their Christmas when we give them what they need. We're going to have our Christmas, but they'll have no homes to go to, no shelters to be up under right now. Let's make their Christmas the best that we can by giving. Without further ado, Clarence and Malin, please take the floor. Can we go into our other segments now, the regular segments of the show? I am so happy to have everyone on the line, and all you listeners out there, you are amazing. But also, we are very happy to say that our second subject matter was, it's Christmas time. How many people out there are lonely, sad, and hungry, and homeless? That was our second topic, because this is Christmas, and some people are lonely, upset, they've lost their loved ones. Everybody's not having the most merriest Christmas. What can we do to help and change their Christmas? That was our second topic. Clarence, please take the floor. I'm going to tune out right now.
God bless everybody, and I love y'all.
Thank you, Pastor Eddie. We're going to go on to our regular scheduled programming right now, and we have subject matter expertise on the Eddie Jesse Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. And just to mellow it out a little bit, we're going to go to Linda Goldie. Good morning, Linda Goldie. We know you have something special for us written. I mean, God has given you a craft like no other. So if you have some poetry to share with us, it's your moment.
Yes. Okay. This is called Foolishness. When foolishness brings trouble, the problems start to double, and you're staring at the rubble of your dreams, or so it seems. But God is so surprising, like daybreak he is rising, to console the enterprising who moves on another dawn. When God beckons, will you follow? Leave your plans because they're hollow. Easily they're overcome, though they're noisy as a drum. Now that's the gist of what I write, though I see no end in sight, because death comes when unaware. I'm always trying to prepare. So foolishness, get far from me. I don't want your company. I don't have time to play your games. I need my strength for what remains. But before I give life up, I'll break the bread and drink the cup.
Linda Goldie. Let's give it up for Linda Goldie.
Fantastic.
My hug.
Appropriately fantastic.
Poetry.
Wow.
Thank you, Linda. That was powerful.
You're welcome.
Good morning, Melanie. Melanie Aubrey is in the queue, Pastor Eddie.
Okay, let me get her right now. Okay, let's see. All right. I don't see her in the queue.
And while Professor Eddie is doing that, let's go to our doctor.
Okay, I do have Melanie. Good morning, Melanie Aubrey. How are you this morning? Welcome to the show, Melanie Aubrey. How are you?
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Wonderful
good
to be
morning,
here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody
Melanie.
Say good morning.
Good morning, Melanie.
Wow.
Good morning, everyone. God bless you.
Good morning.
You know, Melanie, my pockets have been so dumb, so I'm glad to have you on to get some financial literacy from you.
Yes, and let's let all our listeners know that we'll probably go over for about 5 to 7 minutes over today so that we can make sure everybody gets enough time to say what they have to say. It's Christmas time. It's the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Clarence and Allen, take the floor. Here we go.
Good morning, Melanie. Dr. Richard, let's go to Melanie, and then we'll come to you because my pockets have been so illiterate. I need to get some literacy for my pocket, my purse. I don't carry a purse, but you know what I mean.
Amen.
Well, you know what? You're not alone, and that's the whole thing about money. And I heard what you said earlier, and I was giving you amens to that with regards to just the season and the reason for the season. And, you know, I used to tell my son and other people, too, I used to say, this is Jesus' birthday, but everybody wants gifts, you know. So it's like, but it is really a mindset, you know, of how the world and how mass mind, you know, has trained us to see this time as being, you know, just gift-giving, spending money, going out, you know. So you're not alone in the pressure of wanting to, you know, show love by giving gifts. You know, it is an act of love, and if that is in your heart to do it. But the pressure of it is not from the Lord, you know. And so one of the things I shared on a blog post was just, you know, about credit cards, you know. And I had to learn this the hard way, and it was so painful, you know, to realize that even if you're paying your bills on time, the credit card companies, you know, that interest that they put on top of whatever your balance is, you know, makes the item that you paid for cost three times as much as it was. So if you're looking at some boots, a purse, or wallet, whatever you're looking at, and you use a credit card for it, unless you plan to pay it off in that 30 days, and you know you can, just look at it and triple the cost of it, and then decide whether or not it makes sense to really go ahead and purchase it, you know, because you're going to pay three times as much, and the credit card companies are just loving this time, you know. And I'm going to call this company out too right now, Target. I'm sorry to say. I love Target. I know a lot of people that just love, love, love Target because they seem like such a family-oriented business. And the reason I'm calling them out is because I have checked my own personal statements from them, and I'm also encouraging everyone to do that at this time. Check your bank statements every month and see what charges are being, you know, just kind of put there that you may or may not be aware of. And Target is notorious for their high interest, and, you know, they want to always, you know, allow you to buy groceries, clothes, you know, buy all these things that households need. But just beware and be aware that they have a lot of hidden charges on their accounts. And so that's all I wanted to say about that. But that's not financial literacy, but I hope that that helps. You know, this is the season for sharing love and for understanding, like Pastor Eddie said, so many people are in need right now. And I believe everyone on this program, we walk around and we attempt to be blessings wherever we go and to share that love, whether it's a smile, whether it is giving money, whether it's giving food, clothing, whatever we have, I know that, you know, it makes a difference. So I just think we all need to just continue to, when we leave the house, you know, just asking God to lead us and where can we be a blessing to others. But, you know, financial literacy is something that we all wish we had learned. You know, we all wish we would learn, have learned how not just to earn money, but how to spend it, save it, manage it, and invest it. You know, so much to money. It touches every aspect of our lives. And I know sometimes we just don't want to talk about money. You know, it's just, you know, you don't want to talk about things that may be challenging. And if you're not challenged with money, then you're blessed. You know, you have been taught by someone who learned about money and shared that with you. So continue to share the information that you know with others. But I just wanted to encourage as I close that, you know, we all make mistakes. We all have issues and challenges as a result of what we don't know about money. But I think that God knows, you know, what he has planned for us even through our mistakes. No matter what we do, his plan for us will prevail. You know, we continue to know that, you know, he wishes above all things that we prosper, that we're in health as our soul prospers. So we need to continue to have hope. I got that from Steve Harvey. He said it's not too late. It's never too late to start making better choices and to improve your financial life. And we know that Maya Angelou says when we know better, we will do better. So let's keep our hope alive and remember our faith is the substance of the things that we're hoping for, and it will be the evidence of things not yet seen. So I just want to say I pray for everyone on this call. I'm so thankful to be a part, to be able to come in and share our when I get a chance on financial literacy and just having a godly mindset about money. So thank you so much, and I yield back to you. Thank you.
Let's give it up to Melvin Roberts.
That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you
Excellent.
So much.
Well, Dr. Rika has been blown to bits. I was just about to call it quits till you came on the show. Dr. Rika Adams-Jones. Mental health.
God bless you.
The regulator.
God bless you. The regulator. What would we do without the regulator? God bless you all the co-hosts. God bless you. Happy Monday. This is Mental Health and You. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Is it possible to be too independent? You know, we're taught to be independent, you know. Be independent. Don't depend on other people for, you know, for things in life, you know, being successful and as Nellie always teaches us to be
you know, take care of our finances. You know, we were taught to be independent and not depend on anyone, right? So it's healthy to know that you can rely on yourself when you need to. Why is that? Because it increases self-esteem, it increases confidence, it, you know, gives you a positive outlook. But being overly independent can also bring about a set of troubles, according to research, such as emotional distance, conflict, miscommunication, especially when you are in a relationship. You know, you have a significant other. And so you want to be sure to balance, you know, when you're independent, you want there to be a balance. Okay? Just remember that. And remember that mental health matters, and it is time to remove the stigma. God bless you all.
Amazing.
Dr. Rita.
Amazing.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Oh, my gosh.
Dr. Rita. God bless you.
Well, I'm not the wisest person in the world, but after I hear our next host, I get just a little bit more wiser. And I'm talking about Talana Jones, Words of Wisdom.
Amen. Thank you, Clarence. And to everyone listening, welcome to Words of Wisdom. Today's Words of Wisdom are in honor of yesterday's Sunday school. And I love generational ancestry. I love being able to trace back my roots and share and pass down wisdom as well as give wisdom. So I pray you enjoy. So it reads, be dignified and respectful. Teach generational prayer with God's words. Being an overseer is a noble task, above reproach. He must manage his own household. Change means to train a child up in the way that they should go, to remember that the generational prayers of our ancestors not to be forgotten, to not be drunk with power, to remember that we must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, to be pure and to start prayer in early training. So that means to me, my grandchild, start her early, understand and get her to know who God is, the relationship, why we are spirits having a human experience here on earth, and to continue learn how to be an elder. This is fun for me because I am learning from my elders and from all of the many blessings and memories that they have given me to cherish, to pass down. So I thank God that I'm able to say, 40 years young, that I'm now an elder. And to pass down God's blessings with intergenerational prayer. So to learn from our youth and help them to learn how to emulate from our elders the way we used to do things back in the day. And to show the best example of the right behavior. To humble yourself before the Lord and to learn to pay attention to signs and miracles. Our faith with scripture, be the best example in the word of God and let your talent shine. God bless you.
Wow. Amen.
All right. Great words of wisdom. Wonderful words of wisdom.
You know, since the beginning of November, I started reading this Willie Lynch letter. It's a spiritual curse. It's a spiritual spell. It's alive and well right now in our society, whether you know it or not. And it's a part of all these bad tragedies, accidents, purposes, and things that are happening, not just only in our nation, but even it's become so powerful.
Toward Orange Avenue.
It's happening around the world.
And back in 1712, during the time of slavery, blacks were being hung and mutilated and murdered at an alarming rate. And so they sent for this guy because he found a way to make that African slave to become obedient. He said, well, I have a foolproof method. He said, if you use it right, it'll last not only from 3 to even 1,000 years. He said he used fear, distrust, and envy for control. He put the different characteristics and made them bigger and used them where we can use them against each other, such as intelligence, size, sex, our attitudes. He said distrust is stronger than trust, and envy is stronger than adulation. He talked about breaking the slave, breaking the woman, breaking the male, to put the woman out in front and make the male stand behind in fear. He say, keep the body but take the mind. And this guy was a monster, man. He went through the breaking process of the African woman. And right now, I want to talk about what he written about, the possible interloping of negatives. Earlier we talked about the non-economic good of the horse and the nigger in their wild or natural state. We talked out of the principle of breaking and tying them together for orderly production. Furthermore, we talked about paying particular attention to the female savage and her offspring for orderly future planning. Then more recently, we stated that by reversing the positions of the male and female savages, we created an orderly cycle that turns on its own axis forever unless a phenomenon occurs and shifts the position of the male and the female savages. Our expert warned us about the possibility of this phenomenon occurring, for they saw that the mind has a strong drive to correct and recorrect itself over a period of time if it can touch some substantiality of original historical base. And they advised us the best way to deal with the phenomenon is to shave off the brute mental history and create a multiplicity of phenomena of illusion so that each illusion will twirl on its own orbit, something similar to floating balls in a vacuum. This creation of multiplicity of phenomena of illusion entails the principle of crossbreeding the nigger and the horse, as we stated above, the purpose of which is to create a diversified division of labor, thereby creating different levels of labor and different values of illusions at each connecting level of labor. The result of which is the severance of the points of the original beginnings for each fear illusion. Since we feel that the subject matter may get more complicated as we proceed in laying down our economic plan concerning the purpose, reason and effect of crossbreeding horses and niggers, we shall lay down the following definition term for future generations. Orderly cycle means a thing turning in a given path. Axis means upon which or around which a body turns. Phenomena means something beyond ordinary conception and inspires awe and wonder. Multiplicity means a great number, means a globe. Crossbreeding a horse means taking a horse and breeding with an ass, and you get a dumb, backward, long-headed mule that is not reproductive nor productive by itself. Crossbreeding niggas means taking so many drops of good white blood and putting them into as many nigger women as possible, varying the drops by various tone that you want, and then letting them breed with each other until another circle of color appears as you desire. What this means is you put niggas and the horse in a breeding pot, mix some asses and some good white blood. What you get? You get a multiplicity of colors of backward, unusual niggas running tied backwards as long-headed mules. The one productive of itself, the other sterile. The one constant, the other dying. We keep the nigger constant for, we may replace the mules for another tool, but the mule and nigger tied to each other, neither knowing where the other came from and neither reproductive of itself, nor without each other. And, you know, just before I read that, Delana just talked about generational history and learning that. And this letter just talked about erasing that. And so we see how horrific these people were. You must remember that they were slave owners. Do not call them your master. They were slave owners. They owned, they were in control of our ancestors. Stop calling them slave masters. Stop calling white folks white supremacy. Do not, words of power. You don't give them that kind of power. When you say, well, white supremacy, you just gave them all the power. They are not superior to you. They are inferior. That's why they fear you. They're jealous because you are a creator. And many of them can't create anything. They emulate. They copy. They steal it. They even kill for it. So I want to thank each and every one for listening to this horrific letter.
Brother Clarence.
This is real. This is actual history. Go ahead, Pastor Eddie.
Hey, Brother Clarence, first of all, I want to thank you, and let's give Brother Clarence a hand, everybody. Let's give him a hand for what he just shared with us.
Thank you, Clarence.
Amen.
All right.
Now, I just want to do a little, I want to do one little small disclosure for those people who are sensitive to the N-word out there. On our show, we don't mean any offense to anyone. We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings with the N-word. We're talking about some history that is still some sort of mystery to some people who don't understand why and what we've been through in our lives. So just a little small disclaimer. I hope that no one is offended by what they're hearing on the show with the N-word, but we're just trying to tell you the real deal, Holyfield, where there's no smoking gun. Without further ado, it's time for one of the most wonderful people on the show. Everybody's wonderful, and every segment is wonderful. But this part of the show right here is one of my favorites, the commentary. Without further ado, Professor Reams, please take the floor. Give us the commentary.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. And once again, an excellent and fantastic job. Thank you for the forum that we have known and loved, and that Clarence mentioned that we give our heart and our minds and our soul to do a great job each week so that we have a successful program in the sharing our talents as God has provided with us. And you have done such a good job in allowing us to do that. And it's an excellent job. So I'd like to also thank and do my quick shout-outs, and then we're going to go through the commentary. Cousin P, shout-out. I hope everything is well and that our prayers are with you. To Clarence, the regulator, thank you so much. Brilliant job. You're going to hear a little bit of what you've talked about in the commentary. To Vera, who I lovely call Dr. Granny V, thank you so much for your insight on health and wellness and also just our first two topics. To Lana, once again, knocked it out of the ballpark billions of times on today with your wonderful words of wisdom. It's an honor always to hear your segment. Melanie Aubrey, the word kingdom citizen doesn't do you justice. You are the epitome of keeping us whole when we're thinking about how money should or shouldn't work. And, you know, my own testimony is thank you for your work because it helped me with some of the things I needed to do to make sure that everything was going along well financially. Dr. Aretha, wonderful. Excellent. As usual, I'll add in your segment in dealing with two independents. And then finally, Linda, I got my hug. I always love getting my hug from you, dealing with your poems, and it's just a joy to hear what you're going to do each week. All right, so here we have what we've talked about for today is that we look at the top subjects. We looked at the tornadoes, and let's think in our mind that 30,000 feet of debris is still floating out there and flying, and thousands of people's lives have been devastated. Plus, we have now the homeless, and now that has been added tenfold with the tornado. We also talked about the Willie Lynch memo, which has always been, as Delana mentioned, dealing with ancestry history, but also, as Clarence mentioned, that this is the way that we, as
Pastor Jones, that we get the real deal Holyfield, we don't sugarcoat anything, and that this is exactly what happened, and that it is the progenitor and foundation for what we're struggling with as African Americans to this day. But then our struggle, like the canary in the coal mine, is everybody's struggle, because as we mentioned before, the civil rights movement, it has expanded to other folks, only showing the divide between the oppressed and the oppressors, and how the struggle continues to push so that we live in a fair and equitable country and or world in light of everything. We also touched on the Ebola virus and the various virus ways, and rightfully so, both Pastor Jones and Clarence mentioned that it is another form of fear which is used as a monster, as Clarence does in the Haunted Soul Brother, the different monsters. So we have virus as a monster, we have storms, we also have fear, we also have how we treat each other as a monster. So where do we go from here? Because this is where Linda Goldie's wonderful, wonderful poem sets the tone. Now, the word today is grace, and of course, it's God's grace and mercy that allows us to be here. And when we have accepted the good Lord as our Lord and Savior, what he expects us to do is to first, we take the bread and we drink the cup. Thank you, Linda, for reminding us of that. Upon getting that initiation, he then expects us to show patience, forgiveness, and what we talked about today, love. We talked about the love for the homeless. We talked about the love for the families that are being affected by the tornadoes that have occurred, and that love in ourselves as well as love for others. But Professor, Dr. Aretha, Professor Aretha as well, also talked about being too independent. So these storms that we have was like a tap on the shoulder saying that you're getting a little bit too independent, you're getting separate. We, as I mentioned before, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and this is a point where as part of our kingdom citizens, as part of our my grace and mercy, I expect you to show love, patience, and forgiveness, and you're not doing it. Okay, well then let's try something different. Now that we have the tornadoes and it's devastated everyone, it is forcing people to do the things that Talana had mentioned. We had to humble ourselves. We had to think about our relations. We had to start, as Pastor Jones mentioned, roll up our sleeves, as the leaders are doing, and start really addressing the problems and start focusing on the things that actually matters. Because when we've taken the bread and we drink the cup, we are expected to be our brothers and sisters keeper. And in doing so, if we're not doing that, then the reason for the season doesn't mean anything, because that's what the good Lord did when he died for our sins. And so in doing so, he expects us to do no different than he did for us when he was on earth and going through the earthly challenges that we're facing each and every day. Remember, Jesus' ministry dealt with the folks that we've talked about today, with the sick, with the homeless, with also the people who in despair, and he was there at every single time through his grace and mercy to provide them with his love and, as Talana mentioned, and his talent to help people to move forward. So as we move forward in this time of reason for the season, which is Jesus, he is expecting us to use our talents to do as he done in helping us to move forward in his name, as we've done through his grace. And with that, wow, that's my commentary.
Wow.
Amen.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
that's
my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
And that
truck
in the limo.
Oh, my
gosh.
That was
fantabulous.
Slam
that truck in the limo.
That was fantabulous. Since we're going over today, I'd like to get everybody's closing remarks. We haven't done that in a while. Professor Reams, you were just amazing. Everybody on the show is just amazing. Without further ado, Talana Jones, are you still with us, Talana?
Yes, I am, Dad.
Okay, can you please give us your closing remarks?
I would just want to say happy early birthday to my grandmother, Marion McCoy. And
yes.
I'm also to everyone who has a birthday in December, God bless you. And I love you all. Thank you all for a wonderful show today. And Dad, as always, for a great platform to share our wisdom. Amen.
Amen, amen. Melanie Aubrey, are you still with us?
Yes, I am still with you. Enjoying every minute.
Melanie, please
take
a moment and give us your closing remarks.
Well, my closing remarks are just to be thankful. I believe that we have so much that we have to be thankful for, and I just appreciate being here on the show, and I hope that as we go out, that we'll share, as Professor Reen says, that, just sharing the love of Christ, sharing whatever we have to give and being a blessing wherever we go, and that's all I want to share. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so very much. Love you. Aretha Adams Jones, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still with you.
Okay, Aretha, take your time. Give us your closing remarks.
Okay, thank you so much. To you, Pastor Eddie, I appreciate you and this, this opportunity to share on this amazing platform, and to all the co-hosts, I want to wish you all a joyous holiday season. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to all of you, even though I'll be with you. but I just want to say that there are a lot of us, several co-hosts that have experienced the death of the loss. They have experienced losses, and I want you to know that it's important to continue to look to the author and the finisher of our faith. He will bring you through, although it's difficult at this point in your life, but he will see you through. He will bring you through. And just thank God for the precious, precious, precious memories that no one will ever be able to take away. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Thank you so very, very much. Thank you so much. All right.
Amen.
Now, without further ado, Clarence M. Allen, Clarence, give us your closing remarks.
Can we go to Linda Goldie first?
Okay, Linda Goldie, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still with you.
Can you please give us your closing remarks?
Yeah, I'm just overwhelmed by the content of what the other people have shared on the show, and do every time. It's amazingly overwhelming. I mean, each person has so much wealth of knowledge and sensitivity and compassion. It makes me ashamed for what
you.
I don't have.
Oh. Thank you. We love you, Linda Goldie. Everybody, let's give a hand for Linda Goldie. We love you.
Goldie!
You are tremendous value to us.
Woo-hoo.
You are a valuable masterpiece.
Thank you.
Wow. Now, without further ado, Clarence M. Allen, take the floor. Give us your closing remarks. Then we'll go to Professor Reins, and then I'll give you my closing remarks.
Thank you, Pastor Eddie. First, giving God thanks and all the glory just for everything. I thank him for you, Pastor Eddie. I thank him for all of my co-hosts. Thank him to all our listeners, especially those who come in and out and those who are dedicated to this show. You know, the one thing that I love about this show, it is real. We talk about the real topics. We talk about the real problems, and we talk about real solutions. And so I just like to apologize to any and everyone who may have been intimidated, offended, anything about this letter that I read. I'm going to read the entire letter. I'm going to finish it hopefully next week, next Monday. So tune in, because these are not my words. This is the words that they use in this letter during those times. So once again, I apologize to each and every one of you. I love you all. Have a wonderful week. God bless you.
Man, we love you too, Brother
God
Clarence.
Bless you.
You did a great job. You did a Clarence Scott Hope show today in a wonderful way.
Good job, man.
Good job, Clarence. Excellent hosting job today. Without further ado, we're going to go to our professor. Is a real professor. He's a real professor of social justice and music, and he's a professor of a lot of different things. He's very well-rounded, very intellectual and intelligent, and definitely astute with the information that he shares with us. So without further ado, Professor Raines, please take the floor. Give us your closing remarks. Professor Raines, are you there?
Yes, Pastor Jones. Yes, Pastor Jones.
All right.
I just wanted to say to everyone the brilliance that you have, the compassion that you have. It's this makes the show as a very important, vital to the life of many people. So continue to do what you do, and let's also lift everybody up. And we always say, pray to the Lord, because he will never, ever let us down. So with that, thank you for being who you are, and bless all of you and your family.
Amen, amen. Let's give a big
God bless you.
Thank you so much, Professor Raines.
Amen. God bless you and your families as well.
And really quick, I just want to share a few things. I love you guys.
Thank you guys for
calling. I love everybody. Yes. Okay. Hallelujah. I love y'all. I just want to share a few little, just some songs. I don't own the rights to any of them, but I want to share. Give love at Christmas time. And I just want to say that first, to give love at Christmas time. Give love at Christmas time. And hang all the mistletoe. I'm going to get to know you better this Christmas. And as we trim the tree, how much fun it's going to be together this Christmas, fireside blazing bright. We're caroling through the night, and this Christmas will be a very special Christmas to me, yeah. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Hallelujah, all these wonderful, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glowed. All of the other reindeers used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph play in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then all the reindeers loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history. Amen. If you like what you just heard, just clap your hands. Hey.
All right, Pastor Eddie.
Let me get two tickets.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you guys so much. I know I shouldn't do this, but I do it every time. Dr. Rita Adams-Jones, I know you have a Christmas song for us. You're such a wonderful singer. Could you just give us one little Christmas song, please?
Away in the manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet hay.
the stars in the heavens look down where he lay.
All right, now, come on.
The little Lord Jesus, the little Lord Jesus, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Hey, man, hallelujah.
I call.
All right.
I call.
All right.
Amen.
Dr. Rita. Let me get you tickets.
Rita, come on. We need tickets. Oh, my gosh, that was amazing. That was just amazing. Thank you so much. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.